Turn your Bibles with me this morning to Joshua chapter 2. We're going to begin chapter 2 today. And man, last week was just such a blessing for me to have Pastor Tom come up and just bust the word open. And I needed that. And I hope you guys did too. And if you guys don't know Pastor Tom, man, sit down and have some lunch with him today and get to know him. And he's a faithful man. He's a good man. And most of all, he just loves the Lord and loves to make disciples. So a couple weeks ago, we finished up chapter 1 of Joshua. Excuse me, I've had this chest thing all week, so it's hopefully on this way out. So just bear with me on that. But we spent a great deal of time looking at chapter 1. It was only 18 verses, but we really thrust it out of especially the beginning portion of chapter 1, where God is charging Joshua to arise and go, and giving him his marching orders and what he was to do and where he was to go and how he was to do it. And he's very detailed, and though it may seem like there's some details missing, God is a God of details, and he didn't leave anything out. So we spent a great deal of time looking at that, and Joshua, we know Joshua was the appointed leader, and God given him those directions. And then he took those instructions and he passed them on to the officers. And then he went and talked to the 2.5 tribes. And so the word had went forth, and the people were preparing to do what they had been waiting to do for 40 years, right? They had been wandering around, waiting to cross the Jordan River, waiting to go into the promised land, but yet they murmured and complained and just send it up and did whatever they wanted and didn't have faith that God could do what he could do in their life. Though he showed them over and over and over, they just continued to wander. And it's likened unto us as a lost person. We just wander, right? We just wander through this life, and the unfortunate part about that is many people, the majority of the people in this world, wander their whole entire life, not going anywhere except for down the toilet, right, into the lake of fire when it's all over. Praise the Lord that if you're saved today, you've been delivered from that. But here's the thing, we must get the word out. Okay, we have to be a messenger. We have to tell people where we're going, where they're going, and how they can turn from the way they're going into the direction that they need to be going. So it's so important for us to get a hold of that. And that's why God has us really focused in on the word go, because it is such a great opportunity. It's such a gospel-rich environment that we live in today, and it's such a gospel opportunity for us to take God's word and to go and just talk to somebody about it, right? That sounds so intimidating to us. How am I going to talk to somebody about God's word? How do I get through that barrier that I've put up, right? Because that's the thing. I've put this barrier up called fear. And I can't seem to push through it. And it's because the word I is in there, right? Because we can't do it. We won't do it. But with God, man, all things are possible, okay? And he can do anything. Nothing is impossible with God. So we need to remember that when we start throwing up the excuses and throwing up the roadblocks and throwing up the stop signs and realize that we're really not the one in control. So today we're going to look at the first verse of chapter 2. It's not much, but there's some things that I want us to really pull out of this that are very applicable to our lives. And that are so important for us as we walk with God through this time that he has us here on earth. So in Joshua chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim 2 men to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, even Jericho.' And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there." Father God, I pray today that you take this one verse, and God, that you break it open for us. And God, that we would, God, see what you have for us. And Father, that we would just be good hearers of your word. And Father, we would also be good doers of your word as well. And Father, I pray that, God, we would be like that soft clay, that we wouldn't be rigid, we wouldn't be stiff-necked, but God, that we would be moldable. And God, when you give us instruction, when you give us direction, when you give us correction from your word, that God, that we would hearken unto that. And God, that we would be encouraged because you desire the best for us. And this world is not the best. This time that we have right now is not the best. But God, when we walk in your ways, and God, when we follow you and we fully trust you, you want the best for us, and that best is through you only. So, Father, we thank you for this day. God, we pray you'd bless it. In Jesus' name, amen. So there's three things that I want us to pull out of this verse today. And there are actually three words that just flew off the page at me when I was studying this passage out that have been instilled in me since pretty much the day that I got saved, since the day I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Pretty much these words have been instilled in me, and they continue to be instilled in me through God's Word and through men of God that preach God's Word. And you know, Joshua called these two men to go on a secret mission, right? And, you know, all of us deep down kind of want to be that, right? We want to be one of those secret agents, right? We want to be that person, you know, like one of those people in the movies, you know, that we go and we're like, man, that's a cool job. I want to go be a spy. I want to go undercover. I want to do things that people don't know that I'm doing. And but it says that they were to go spy secretly. And that's such a cool task. And here's the thing, though. They could have very easily lost their lives, right? Joshua says, hey, guys, I need you to go do this. I need you to go spy out the land secretly, right? Don't get caught. Don't get killed. Because I need you to come back and report to me. Because that's a spy's job. A spy's job is to go to gather intel and to bring it back and deliver that intel so that they can formulate a plan in order to what they're going to do to carry it out. Okay, right now, there's probably that going on in the world today. If you guys are alive, you know that there's a war that's about to happen that's getting ready to go on between Ukraine and Russia. And there's probably spies all over the country of Ukraine. And people don't know that. And the thing is, those spies, they got to be crafty. They got to be sneaky. But the three things that I want us to see here today really don't have anything to do with being a spy. Though that is the context of our passage, and that Joshua sent these two men to spy secretly. But he tells them, there's three things here that I want us to see. And the three words that we're going to focus on today are sent, go, and went. Three simple words that you're like, well, those are pretty boring words. But the reason that they're in this order is so important for a believer's life. Because the word sent comes first, the word go comes second, and the word went comes after both of those, okay? And oftentimes, we get those all jumbled up, and I'm not going to get ahead of myself, but these three words are all action words, right? They take action in order to put them into motion, to make them happen. And for most of us, it doesn't really matter what order these happen in our life. We're like, well, I can go, I can went, I can be sent. It doesn't really make any difference because I don't know what you're talking about, but I just do it however I want to do it. And here's what we need to remember is that God is a God of order. He's not a God of confusion. He's not a God of chaos. But though some of us, we may desire chaos in our life. We may desire confusion. And that's not what God intends for mankind. Some of our lives look like complete chaos, okay? Some of our lives look like complete confusion. Like we don't even know what we're doing. We're just getting by. So what if we took these three words, and what if we look at these three words today, and we do a couple things, and we check what order we do things in, okay? I want us to apply this to our everyday life, okay? Not just ministry, okay? In everything that we do, in the decisions that we make in our lives, what if we applied these three things today and really ran them through, run what we do through these three things today, and see where our marching orders are coming from, most of all. And here's the thing. This is going to get in some of our grills today because we don't like people or even God to tell us what we should do, when we should do it, or how we should do it. Here's the thing, though. If we're a child of God, the orders had better be coming from Him. The orders have to come from Him, not from ourselves, not from our spouses, not from our bosses, and there's an order of authority in our lives, and I know that, but most of all, God is the authority, okay? So it must come from the top. So the first word, it says, and Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly. The word is sent, okay? The word is one that not a lot of folks like to participate in. We want to do things in our timing, in our way, and we don't want you to tell us how to do it or when and where or how we're going to do that. And in John chapter 17, I want to see Jesus praying here. In John chapter 17, in verses 9 through 18, it says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in this world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I've kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that thy might have joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them my word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of this world, but thou shalt keep them from the evil. And we're getting, here we go. In verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. And then in verse 18, and thou, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through thy truth. Just as God sent his only begotten son into this world. This wasn't an idea that Jesus was just sitting up in heaven and was like, yo, dad, I'm gonna go chill on earth for a little while. I'm gonna go down and hang with those guys for a little while. I need to take a time out from heaven, and I need to step down to earth. And you know, I need a little bit of miserable time in my life, so I'm gonna go hang with those people. You're like, that's retarded. It is retarded, because that's not how it happened. God sent his only begotten son, right? He was sent from heaven to earth for a purpose. And then Jesus right here, he's praying for his disciples, and he's like, man, just as you have sent me to this world, I'm going to send my disciples out into the world, because the world needs to hear the truth. I also send them into the world, Jesus says. The word sent is so important, because we must be sent. Joshua sends these two men in our text today. And it doesn't say, but I'm sure that there was a great deal of preparation and praying and things happening in order for it to narrow it down to these two. I'm sure he didn't just walk up and be like, yeah, you two, you're going, right? I'm sure there was some heavy prayer and direction from God on who was to be sent, because there was a special mission. It was a special mission. They were obviously qualified men to be able to be sent out on such a mission. In ministry, there's a saying. The saying is, God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:24, it says, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Right? Oftentimes, we're like, I must take 17 classes. I must do this and I must do that in order to be qualified before someone will even ask me to do this or that. And you know that we do things decently in order, but that's not it. We don't get in the way of God. And God, when God puts a calling on someone's life, right, though they may not be qualified for that, and really, if we would all be honest, none of us are qualified for anything that we do, but God qualifies us. Because faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. These men had to be willing servants, okay? They had to be all in and to be sent wherever they were to be sent and do whatever they were to be doing. And here's the question. Has anyone ever actually considered, am I actually willing to be qualified to be sent into the field? Right? And I gave a quote from Clifford Clark. Some of you guys have no idea who Clifford Clark is. But he tells us that not all of us will be missionaries, but that we or pastors or church planters or children's ministry workers or whatever you want to put in there, but we should all struggle with the possibility of that happening in our life. of God sending us somewhere to do something. It may seem to some that there's so many classes that we must be required to take. It's so many things that we must be required to do before we're allowed to do the next thing. But here's the thing. God just most of all wants our hearts, okay? He wants our hearts. He wants us to be obedient and willing to do what he says. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, it says this. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, it says, "But not be that thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath called us," or who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So God's not looking on, what are you doing? How are you doing it? What kind of degrees do you have? What kind of training do you have? Man, he just wants to see our heart. He wants to see our heart. He wants to see that we're willing to be sent. He wants us to see that we're willing to serve. The thing is we have three words today. We have sent, go, and went. And oftentimes we get the first and the third totally mixed up. Sent versus went. And you know, some of us, myself included, I write really terrible sometimes. And I could write those two words next to each other and they may look the same, right? Because there's only one word or one letter that completely separates those two. And that one letter is so important. If the spies were to come up with their own plan and go spy out the land and not allow the leader to send them, and they would be on their own, they would step out from underneath that authority, the protection, the chain of command, and they would be just two went ones. We don't want to be went ones. If you come away with nothing more today than this, is you want to be a sent one, not a went one. That was instilled in me from very early on. Because went ones have their own agenda. They have their own plan. They don't care about who they affect. They don't care what gets in their way. They just want to go, 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 right? Because going it's attractive. When we make decisions in our lives today, what kind of counsel do we seek? Do we talk to a brother and sister and say, hey, I'm kind of thinking about doing this with my life or with my family or with ministry. What do you think about this? And not that we're looking for man's opinion, because if you're going to a brother or sister for counsel, they better be giving you this, right? Because if they're giving you this, flee from that. But if you go to a brother and sister and they say, well, you know, what does the word say about that? And then you're like, well, that's not what I'm looking for. I don't want that kind of counsel. I want some of this. Well, then you need to check this, okay? Your heart's not right. The problem is that we continue to just live bullheaded lifestyles and do whatever we want because it makes us feel good. And then we pull the God card, right? Tom talked about the God card last week. And we're like, well, God told me, right? That I got my direction from God. Well, where'd you get that direction from? Well, from God. Where? From God? But really, where did you get it? Well, I just want to do this. That's called being a went one. We must fully rely on God. The reason you don't want to be a went one, but you want to be a sent one, is because you must fully rely on God when things get tough. Because the thing is, and most of us have experienced this, things will get tough. And we have to have him and his word to fall back on. Because our flesh, if I would just be completely open and honest with you today, my flesh wants to quit every single day, right? Because ministry is hard, right? Being a follower of God is hard. But my flesh doesn't control me. And I have God's word that dwells in me richly. And I'm so sure on my calling that God has called in my life that I cannot get away from that. Because that's what I fall back on. And he reminds me over and over and over through his word that this is what I have for you. This is your life. This is what you need to be doing. And we should all have that, right? Not all of us are pastors and not all of us are teachers or missionaries or whatever it is. But man, we are all called, okay? If you're born again today, you're called. And some of us won't pick up the daggum phone and answer and say, what's up, God? Well, I have a mission for you. I have a mission. Are you willing to go? Well, no, because I'm pretty booked up. God reminds us through his word to quit making fleshly decisions. Quit satisfying the flesh for a bit. But then, you know, it comes hunting for some more and some more. But when we crucify the flesh and tell it no, the desires flee from us, right? Just like in James chapter 4, verse 7, it says to submit ourselves therefore unto God, resist the devil, right? Resist the devil and he will flee. Well, when we tell the flesh no over and over and over again, eventually it's going to be like, okay, I get it. I get it. I'll be back later. I'll try again. We must turn to God and his word for direction that will last. I'm reminded of a verse in Romans chapter 10, verse 14 and 15 that God used in my life to call me into the ministry. And it says in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? But in verse 15, it says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Each and every one of us in this room today are sent to preach the gospel. None of us can dodge that bullet right there. None of us can be like, well, that's not for me, right? It is. You're a preacher. You're a proclaimer. You can't get away from that. You have a voice. You have the word of God. You're born again. You must apply this. Because God is sending you out into the world. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You don't need a sign or a special verse. He has commissioned each and every one of us to go. And God reminds me of this over and over again. And He tells me, I sent you to speak truth to the people. Because how are the people going to hear if you don't speak it? Well, somebody else will speak it. Jim Bob will speak it, right? Betty Lou will speak it. But why won't we speak it? Why won't we? We've been sent, right? Okay, we can act like you're a stinking spy if that's what tickles your fancy to make you motivated, right? I'm going to go out into this community and I'm going to be incognito and I'm going to take God's word because that's the mission and I'm going to go sneak around and I'm going to tell somebody about this. And if you're just willing to go, God will do the rest. We all want to say we're believers, but when it comes down to it, we don't want to be doers. We don't want to do what we've been sent to do. These spies were super important in our text today, okay? Because there was a mission, and they needed to know what was going on the other side of the river, right? What was going on the other side of Jordan? What was going on in Jericho? What's going on over there? Send a couple of you. Go check it out. And they had a job to do, and it was to spy out the land and come back and give a report. They were sent, not on their terms, not on their agenda. But God, Joshua sent them across the Jordan to go take a look and see what they were up against before the whole group crossed, okay? Maybe that was like, well, we'll send two, and if they get murdered, then we'll know that we need to send more than two, okay? But they were to go and bring back a report. And we're going to see what happens in the later in the text, not today, though. You got to keep coming back. So these two were just like you and I. Because if we're not willing to go to be sent, then others will suffer because of it. Others are going to suffer if we're not willing to go and where we're sent. The second word is go. Go view the land, even Jericho. Now they were sent, they had to take action, they had to go. Joshua tells them to go view the land, fitting that we find this word in our text again, right? It's crazy that God just keeps reminding us to go because some of us aren't listening, right? So he's like, I'll just keep putting it in my word so you keep seeing it, so you keep preaching it. We need to go. John chapter 15, verse 16 says, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that fruit should remain. And whatsoever you ask of my Father in my name, he will give it you. When Jesus was telling them to do this, it was for a purpose. There was a reason. God doesn't just tell us to do something so he can sit back and laugh. They were chosen men for a chosen purpose, and this purpose was to go. But not just go, but to go and bring forth fruit. And not just fruit, not just ordinary fruit, but fruit that would remain. And just as these spies were told to go and bring back a report of the city of Jericho, what is amazing is as though they were going to spy out the land, we're going to see in the coming weeks that there was a total different mission. Total different mission. These guys were like, we're going to spy out the land, we're going to bring back a report. And they get there and they're like, well, this is not exactly what we were expecting. They were going to bring back fruit, and fruit that remained. And just as Jesus tells his disciples to go and bring back fruit that remains, so what is that fruit that remains? What is that? Those that place their faith in Christ alone and stand against the wiles of the devil, not turning away from God when things get tough, but fully trusting him and relying on him and fully being all in and just saying, God, I'll follow you no matter what. And here's the thing. We can't bring forth fruit if we're not willing to go, okay? Like, man, I wish I had some grapes from Price Cutter. We could sit here all day. We'll just wait for grapes, right? Grapes aren't coming, y'all. We must go get the grapes from Price Cutter, okay? We have to go in order to bring, I just use grapes because it's a fruit, okay? Careful, some of them have seeds in that, I found out this past week. But we must go in order to do something. We cannot expect the fruit to come to us. Some of us want that. We just want to sit here and be like, man, God, just bring me the fruit. Bring me the fruit, God. And God says, why don't you go find the fruit? If the spies would have decided that the mission was too tough and that, you know what, I don't really want to lose my life and the walls around Jericho are pretty tall and we ran into this chick that she was nasty. You know what? If they would have decided that the mission was too tough, Rahab would have died and ended up in hell. The question that we must have in our life, in every day that we wake up, is one soul worth me going? Is one soul worth me leaving my home, leaving my comfort zone to go and just share some truth with somebody once? Is one soul worth it? Are you willing to go if it only means that one soul is saved? Are you willing to go into Clinton, Missouri this year and reach our portion that we've sectioned off? Is one soul worth us doing that? That's a question that you have to ask. It has to be a personal question, right? Because the church can be like, yeah, absolutely. And then we have a Saturday where we're like, we're going and three people show up. And that answers the question, well, one soul isn't really worth it for me. When we are charged to go, right, when we have an opportunity to go into our community, which should be every single day, not an organized event, we must be like, man, one soul is worth it today. One soul was worth it when someone shared the truth with you. Consider that. Someone took the time to share the truth with you because they're like, one soul is worth it today. These guys, these spies were like, they were going into the land, even Jericho, and it was because one soul was worth it, and they didn't even know it yet. The third thing that we're going to see here is went. And they went. They took action. It says, and they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. It's easy, like I said, to get sent and went completely twisted up. Our way or the highway. These spies were not went ones. They were sent ones, but they followed their command and actually went. It's one thing for God to say, I want you to go. I want to send you and I want you to go. And then we park our feet in concrete and we're like, no, I'm not going to go. If God is calling you to do something and telling you to go, then actually follow through and do it. But make sure it's from the Lord, right? Not from your feelings. Not from your emotions, not from your desires. The Word of God is a light unto our path, right? It's like a spotlight that directs us through this dark world. It illuminates the path that we're walking on. And if your path is dark, then the Word isn't leading you. Open up God's Word. Let it illuminate your path. I want to look at a story, right? A book. Turn with me to the book of Jonah. As you're turning there, we're not going to go verse by verse in this, but I was just thinking about the book of Jonah this week as I was thinking about these three words. And most of us here today know the story of Jonah. But we might not understand how it ties to these three words of sent, go, and went. But it opens up right in the beginning of the book of Jonah. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." God called Jonah and sent him. He's like, "I'm sending you to Nineveh. I need you to," just as he told Joshua, "arise and go over the Jordan," right? God is telling Jonah here, "Yo, Jonah, and get up, come to attention. I'm sending you to Nineveh because their wickedness is crazy. They're wicked people." But there's a three-letter word that gets in the way. And it's a three-letter word that we use all the time. And it's but. The big but got in the way. But Jonah rose up. So he got the arising part right. And he got the going part right. But he got the direction wrong. It says, "And Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. And so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it and got to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." He went the opposite direction of what he was sent, okay? He went to Tarshish. Do you see that? To go with them to Tarshish. He went with them. He didn't go where God said, "I'm sending you." He twisted it. And if you know the story of Jonah, you know that there's a problem here, because that's not what God wanted him to do. So they're cruising along in the ship, and all of a sudden there's it's like this giant storm. The ship's going to flip over. There's a great wind, and the guys were freaking out, and they're like, "What's going on?" And finally they realize, yo, Jonah's the problem. Jonah's the problem. They cast lots, and it fell on Jonah, and they're like, "Listen, dude, you're going to have to go." And so they take him up and they cast him into the sea, and all of a sudden the sea's calm. Then all of a sudden Jonah's gone. It says in verse 17, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the fish's belly for 3 days and three nights." He's like, "Jonah, if you won't go where I want you to go, then you're going to go right where I want you to go. You're going to stay right here for a moment." And we could get deep into this and we could really talk about what's going on here. But for the sake of time, Jonah didn't want to go where God sent him to go. He wanted to flee, and he thought he could get away from God. And I think that's what a lot of us, the mistake that we make is that if I just don't look at him, right? If I just don't look at God, he won't look at me and I can just continue on the way I'm going. That's like when we know that we're supposed to talk to the person at the gas station and we lock eyes and we're like, "Oh man, don't look at me. Here's my card. Don't look at me. I don't want to talk to you. I want to go my own way. I want to do my own thing. And I don't really want to do what God, definitely I don't want to talk to this person today." And Jonah made a mistake. And the trouble began, right? So God swallowed him up in a fish, and it worked. God got his attention. It was immediately in chapter 2, it says, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of his belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of my belly of hell I cried, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All my billows and my waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again towards the holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul." It goes on and on and on. Basically, he repents. He gets right with God. So he was vomited up on dry land, right? That's attractive. There you go. Try again. Here's your second chance, Jonah. Here's your second chance, Brad. Here's your second chance. Enter your name. Because oftentimes, we don't do the right thing the first time. And God's grace swallows us up. and reminds us that he's the one in control. God spoke to him a second time. It says the same directions, nothing changed, and Jonah listened this time. And he went where he was supposed to go. Things changed. And we could go on in chapter 14 and see how it displeased Jonah and all this, but the result was God was just looking for obedience from Jonah. He wanted Jonah to get out of his comfort zone. He wanted Jonah to continue to just follow him. He wanted Jonah to be sent and to go. And then that word went, be last. You see here, we must ask ourselves, how many times has God spoken to me and I've went another way? How much time have I wasted when all I had to do was trust and obey? How many lives have I threatened by my actions? The sooner that we realize this, that God's way is better, in fact, that God's way is far better than ours, the sooner we get on mission, the less time we waste, and the more souls that will hear the truth. The more souls we will see, that will see the truth being lived out in our lives. And there's a soul waiting for you to arise and to go. And there is one that is ripe and ready for harvest. But if we're not willing to be sent and actually arise and go, then who will go unto them? We must quit wasting time for someone else's to do it. God has us right where he wants us, right here for a purpose. Time is ticking and it's going by faster and faster every single day. So the spies heard the call. They heard what Joshua told them to do, and they answered the call, and they actually went where they were told to go. And look who was waiting for them. One soul. The text says, and they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. God had a plan. They were sent to spy out the land. And yes, they did this. But God had souls in mind. This harlot was lost, dying, and on an express trip to hell. But God loved her as he loves us. And he sent these spies into her life to introduce her to God and to show his mercy and grace. And they didn't judge her for her actions. In fact, they were thankful that God led them to her because of the protection that she provided. She saved their life, and in return, hers was saved as well. Church, most of us don't see through the eyes of the Lord. We must see through the eyes of the Lord. He looks not on the outward appearance, but he looks on the inside. We must not be so quick to judge, right? By one, the way they look or smell or by their actions. Because we must remember where God found us. Not all of our stories are colorful. Not all of our stories are awful before we met Jesus. But we were all going to the same place. We were all pointed in the same direction. And then God came into our life. And God changed who we were. He changed our identity. He changed everything about us. Remember who you once were before you met Jesus. Remember the transformation that has happened in your life. And how about you return that to another? Be willing to invest what has been invested in you. Be willing to get out of our comfort zone and be sent where God wants us to go. He sent you to this place today, right? To hear from him, to get direction, to arise and go. And where did he tell you to go? Where will you go? Will you be obedient today? Will you hearken unto the call that is in your life? Or will you ignore it and go your own way? Fleetwood Mac sings a song about that. You're welcome. I'm not going to sing it for you, but as I was thinking, I'm like, man, Fleetwood Mac. It says, go your own way. And it goes on to say, you can call it another lonely day. I'm like, how many times have I went my own way? And it's just a dead-end road. And I just find emptiness and loneliness, heartbreak, heartache. This is what happens when we go our own way. It leads to that emptiness and loneliness. But we need to go God's way and lean on him today, and because he's waiting. He will allow you to go your own way, though, right? These spies didn't have to go where Joshua was sending them. They could have been like, we'll say we're going there, but that's not where we're going. We're going to go our own way. Another song that I was thinking about a dear brother that's went on to be with the Lord, and I really don't know this man, but he sang this song one time at Mission Focus. And he was from Jamaica, baby. And he sang this song. It goes like this. It says, "I've got my mind made up and I won't turn back because I'm going to see my Jesus someday. I've got my mind made up and I won't turn back because I'm going to see my Jesus someday." And how amazing is it that it goes on and says, "Born, born, born again. Thank God I'm born again." And I think Kenny should sing this song for us next week, because he knows who I'm talking about and he knows what song I'm talking about. And what's crazy is just moments after this man sang this song, he went to be with Jesus, not knowing that, not knowing what would happen. He sang the song, went to sleep, and he was in the presence of the Lord. Today, we should be thankful that we're born, born, born again. We should thank God that I'm born again today. Because are you thankful? Are you following him? Is your mind made up to follow Jesus, or are you continually turning back to your old ways? Are you going your own way, finding enough loneliness that makes you realize, man, I need to go back to God? And then we just continue that in a vicious cycle. And when you go in circles, you don't go forward, right? You go forward, backwards, forwards, backwards. You just stay in the same place. And then when we get our mind made up, you know what? I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to follow him wherever he says to go, whatever he says to do. Repent and march straight today. Be sent. Go and have a story of where you went when God directed your steps. That's the went part. The went part's, let me tell you where God took me. Let me tell you what God's done in my life. Let me tell you what's happening because I'm allowing God to send me and I'm willing to go. Let me tell you about that. That story right there that God gives you, right? Your testimony, right? This is a story that we can't make up. It's a story that we can't write ourselves because we can't, our minds can't fathom the things that God can do through a willing, obedient servant. The places that God will send you through because you're just a willing, obedient servant, right? We restrict God because we're like, that can't happen. But God was like, just submit and let me do it so that you can have a story of where you've been, where you went, so you can impact someone else's life today. Psalm 37:23, and we'll be done. It says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." Where are your steps being ordered from? Where are your steps being ordered from today? Think about that. Let's pray.